Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for November 9th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Doug Fields, a researcher at the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda. A new study from his group identifies a mechanism by which neurons release ATP through their axons, the part of the cell that's not normally associated with neural communication. Neurons communicate to one another through specialized structures called synapses, through which neurons can exchange chemical signals or electric current. However, many cells in the brain lack synapses, yet they can respond to activity in nearby neurons. In a paper published in the October 5th issue of Science Signaling, Fields and Nee demonstrate that neurons can release ATP through their axons, and that this release is triggered by cell swelling as the neurons fire an action potential. Dr. Fields spoke to me on the phone from his lab at the NIH. Welcome, Dr. Fields.
Well, thank you.
The release of ATP by axons is connected to a phenomenon that was first described in the 1950s, that neurons swell when they fire an action potential. What causes the neurons to swell when they fire?
The swelling is caused by the transmembrane flux of ions that generate the voltage of the action potential and the accompanying water that follow those ions. Back in the 1950s, the scientists who were interested in understanding the basis for electrical excitation in nervous tissue were biophysicists, and they were interested in measuring all manner of physical processes that are associated with excitation. They measured changes in temperature, heating and cooling, changes in light transmission through the axon, polarization, and actual physical swelling of the axon, very rapid changes in the axon that tracked the voltage fluctuation of the action potential. And they understood that this was simply a consequence of the physical process of ions crossing the membrane to generate a voltage. And these physical and optical changes are very small and were instructive for biophysical purposes, but they were not thought to have any biological function.
What sort of physiological changes in the cell does the swelling induce?
Well, these are very small changes, but I think they're likely to have wide-ranging significance in cell signaling. These mechanical responses in cells and in neurons would activate the cytoskeleton, extracellular matrix molecules, integrins. It could activate membrane channels and receptors. And we know that these micromechanical changes or voltage-induced changes are important in hearing, in hair cells, and may be involved in subcellular movements, for example, in dendrites. So I think this is an important area of further research, in addition to the main focus of our paper, which is on how these mechanical changes in the membrane activate a channel to release a neurotransmitter.
Of course, the swelling can't be permanent because then neurons would just get fatter and fatter and fatter.
Right.
How is that swelling resolved?
Well, there are many processes involved in swelling the axon. Voltage itself can cause some rapid changes, and the transmembrane flux of potassium and sodium. So these resolve when the sodium and potassium redistribute after the action potential. But if you give a train of action potentials, there's an accumulation of water into the axon, an accumulation of sodium, and this causes swelling. That swelling has to be resolved in another manner. And all cells in the body have to be able to control their cell volume because of osmotic changes in the cells. Otherwise, they would expand, and that would be lethal to the cell. So all cells in the body have channels that are activated by swelling of the membrane beyond the normal dimensions. And these are called volume-activated anion channels. And when these channels are activated by the swelling of the cell membrane, they open and release water and small metabolites, small organic anions. And these channels are big enough to release ATP and other neurotransmitters like glutamate.
So is that how the ATP is released from axons as they fire?
Exactly. That was my theory, is that this microscopic swelling, and I need to emphasize, this swelling is so small it needs to be measured with very special methods. But if this swelling could activate these stretch-activated chloride channels, then this would allow a mechanism for ATP to be released in response to axonal firing. And that release would involve a mechanism other than synapses.
How does the release of ATP from the axons by this swelling-induced manner differ from the way that neurotransmitters are released at the synapse?
Well, that's a good question. I'm very interested in synapses and study them in my lab, but I'm also interested in electrical communication between neurons and cells in the brain that are not coupled by synapses. And there's a large range of cells where we know electrical activity in the brain communicates to cells that are not connected by synapses. And these include cells like glia, non-neuronal cells, vascular cells, immune cells, cells involved in chronic pain. And my particular interest is in a kind of glial cell that forms the electrical insulation on axons, myelin, which is essential for impulse conduction. And previous work in my lab had shown that electrical activity can stimulate these cells to form more myelin. We had found that the neurotransmitter ATP was being released when neurons fired, and this was activating receptors on the glial cells that caused them to form more myelin and differentiate. But we didn't know how the ATP could be released. There are no synapses along axons. So that was the mystery, and I think in retrospect, the field has been dominated by synaptic communication, which is really a specialization for millisecond serial communication. But all cells in the body can communicate, just not on millisecond timescale, and there are many processes in the brain that have to be controlled by activity over time periods that are much slower. So that was the driving influence in trying to find how electrical activity could be communicating and releasing neurotransmitter to other cells that are not coupled by synapses.
When ATP is released from the axons, does it just flow out through channels?
Yes, so the ATP exits through these channels. There are many other potential mechanisms for ATP release, but we've isolated this mechanism here. ATP is also released from synaptic vesicles. But the advantage of a non-vesicular and a non-synaptic mechanism of release is that this communication is not limited to just the synaptic region, the nerve terminal. Most of our thinking about how neurons and glia communicate have to do with glia picking up neurotransmitters that leak from the synapse, spillover of neurotransmitter. And that's a very important process, but yet that's just a tiny part of a neuron, and there must be this communication taking place outside synaptic regions through these channels. I should say that this mechanism of ATP release was known and has recently been characterized in other cells, including glial cells, but also vascular cells and kidney cells. So it's known that hypotonic conditions that cause cells to swell or even just physically poking a cell causes ATP to be released through these channels. What wasn't known is whether those channels could be activated in neurons by electrical activity. So we have a lot to learn about these channels in neurons because they really haven't been studied to the extent that they have in non-neuronal cells, and they haven't been studied in the context of activation by swelling induced by electrical activity. Most of the field has studied activation of these channels by hypotonic conditions, which causes severe swelling of the cell, and that's a very stressful stimulus to a cell.
Does this type of release also occur in the peripheral nervous system?
Yes, ATP release has long been known to occur from axons in the peripheral nervous system as well as the central nervous system. And we've been able to measure that in my lab, but it's been known for years. And it was known that calcium could inhibit this release, but the mechanism for that release was not clear.
Neurons naturally swell when they fire, and the swelling causes the release of ATP. So presumably then, if neurons were induced to swell by other means, perhaps by pathological means, then that could also cause the aberrant release of ATP. Could that cause neurological problems?
Absolutely. A cell swelling is induced by hypoxia and ischemia, such things as hypothermia, which slow down the transporters in cells that are necessary for maintaining the cell volume, pH or ionic imbalances associated with various conditions, can cause cell swelling, and this would release ATP. So that has already been characterized in other cells, like astrocytes, but we would predict that that would also occur in neurons for the same reason. And there is a lot of interest in non-synaptic communication in the brain in terms of pathology. For example, a seizure involves a wave of depolarization and excitation that goes through the cerebral cortex, cutting across the normal synaptic lines of communication, and this is understood to be due to release of neurotransmitters and ions that excite neurons in large blocks of tissue. ATP is known to be involved in the generation of seizures and the breakdown of ATP to adenosine helps resolve the seizures. So this mechanism would also be involved in release of ATP in seizures. Chronic pain involves interactions between neurons and the immune cells in the brain, the microglia, and the way that these cells are activated has been somewhat of a mystery. It's certainly true that they're activated by neurotransmitters and ATP released from synapses, but now, based on this new finding, this would explain how these immune cells in the brain could be activated by hyperactivity in a pain fiber caused by an injury. Activating these immune cells, and under some conditions, those immune cells can have pathological responses, releasing cytokines and chemokines that produce chronic pain even after the injury is healed. My interest in this is mainly in learning and development of the brain in response to activity, and in particular, the role of glia in regulating the connections and the information processing in the brain.
Thank you, Dr. Fields, for speaking with me.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
That was Doug Fields, senior author of a research article published in the October 5th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Fields and Nee, and it's titled Nonsynaptic Communication Through ATP Release from Volume-Activated Anion Channels in Axons. This week, Science Signaling features neuroscience content with a special emphasis on glia. A research article by Fan and colleagues describes how AKT and autophagy cooperate to promote cell survival in glioma and suggests possible approaches for inducing tumor cell death in patients with glioma. And there's a Journal Club article on recent work that implicates microglia in behavior. That wraps up the Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.